Join me in prayer. God, how often your words call us to remember. As you spoke of old through Moses to his generation, so you speak to every generation. Beware that you forget not the Lord, your God. May we not neglect the call of this Memorial Day Sunday. Let us today remember those who have sacrificed for us, that it has not been in vain. We ask that you will be with all who are sick and those who cannot be with us today. We pray for all the world leaders, that they not fail the dreams and hopes of the human family, that there be peace and life for all. Amen. The scripture this morning can be found in the Pew Bible on page 8. And you may not be able to see my small print. I have to get used to slides. Michael's got to teach me some things. So this is the story about the three servants. The kingdom is also like what happened when a man went away and put his three servants in charge of all he owned. The man knew what each servant could do. So he handed 5,000 coins to the first servant, 2,000 to the second, and 1,000 to the third. And then he left the country. As soon as the man had gone, the servant with 5,000 coins used them to earn 5,000 more. The servant who had 2,000 coins did the same with his money and earned 2,000 more. But the servant with 1,000 coins dug a hole and hid his master's money in the ground. Sometime later, the master of those servants returned. He called them in and asked what they had done with his money. The servant who had been given 5,000 coins brought them in with 5,000 that he had earned. He said, "Sir, you gave me 5,000 coins, and I have earned 5,000 more." "Wonderful," his master replied. "You are a good and faithful servant. I left you in charge of only a little, but now I'll put you in charge of much more. Come and share in my happiness." The next servant, who had been given 2,000 coins, came in and said, "Sir, you gave me 2,000 coins, and I earned you 2,000 more." "Wonderful," said his master replied. "You are a good and faithful servant. I left you in charge of only a little, but now I will put you in charge of much more. Come and share in my happiness." The servant who had been given 1,000 coins then came in and said, "Sir, I know you are hard to get along with. You harvest what you don't plant, and you gather crops which you haven't scattered the seed. I was frightened, and I went out and hid your money in the ground. Here is your every single coin." The master of the servant told him, "You are lazy and good for nothing. You know that I harvest what I don't plant and gather crops where I haven't scattered seed. You could have at least put my money in the bank so that I could have earned interest on it." Then the master said, "Now your money will be taken away and given to the servant with 10,000 coins. Everyone who has something will be given more, and they will have more than enough. But everything will be taken from those who don't have anything. You are a worthless servant, and you will be thrown out in the dark where people will cry and grit their teeth in pain." Forgot my water bottle. And it's a Claritin D day. One morning, a debate broke out on the farm. It was between the hen and the pig. The topic of the debate was whether involvement was the same as commitment. The hen explained to the pig that if someone is willing to get involved, that means they are ready to commit. The pig's response was, "No way. Getting involved is far from being ready to commit." The two continued to argue, and neither seemed able to convince the other of his point of view. When all of a sudden you could hear the farmer's wife, "Hey, honey, what would you like for breakfast? Ham or eggs?" The farmer replied, "I'll have ham, dear." The pig looked at the hen and said, "You see, this proves my point. You lay an egg, and if they use it, that makes you involved in their breakfast. But I, on the other hand, I am committed to their breakfast. They eat me as ham, I am the breakfast." It makes us think, do we want to just get involved in the activities of the church? Or are we ready to commit and give of ourselves? A few years ago, I took my grandfather to the movies. We chose the movie based on the fact that my grandfather's brother had landed on the beaches of Normandy. I should say he almost landed on the beaches of Normandy, because as he climbed out of the boat onto the beach, he was shot in the face, and they grabbed him and pulled him back into the boat. So he returned to the ship, and he missed a historical moment. Of course, he also had his life. The movie I'm talking about was a great stewardship film. It was not produced in a church, though. It was produced in Hollywood like the rest of the movies. And the title of the movie was Saving Private Ryan. Unlike most of the movies that I have seen, I thought a lot about this movie. The themes of the movie are powerful and have to do with the very essence of human spirit. I started thinking about lots of questions. What is the value of a single life? From where do we get courage and valor? Why is it that human beings will die for one another? What is it that we owe one another, our family, our church, our Creator, for the price of our humanity? What is our responsibility at the end of the day for having been given the gift of our own lives? For those of you who missed the movie, in the days after Normandy, the invasion of June 6, 1944, the War Department discovers that three of four sons of a family in Iowa are dead. The fourth son, Private Ryan, is somewhere in France behind enemy lines. General George Marshall, upon hearing of the situation, decides that Private Ryan must be located and sent home safely to his mother. What is Private Ryan's life worth? General Marshall decides quite a bit. He determines that he's going to save Ryan's mother from a fourth telegram of condolence. And so he quotes a worn letter to the rest of his staff. It's a letter to Mrs. Lydia Bixby, sent from the executive mansion. "Dear Madam, I have been shown in the files of the War Department a statement of the Adjutant General of Massachusetts that you are the mother of five sons who have died gloriously on the field of battle. I feel how weak and fruitless any of my words are, but I attempt to beguile you from the grief of the loss so overwhelming. I cannot refrain from tendering you consolation that may be found in the thanks of the Republic they died to save. I pray that our Heavenly Father help you through your bereavement and leave you only the cherished memory of the love and loss and the solemn pride that must be yours to have laid so costly a sacrifice upon the altar of freedom. Yours sincerely and respectively, Abraham Lincoln." And so George Marshall assigns a squad of GIs the task of locating Private Ryan and bringing him out. The squad is led by a captain who's played by Tom Hanks. The captain struggles with the issue, as do most viewers. What is the value of a single life? The mission is costly because squad members lose their lives while they're searching for Private Ryan. The GIs in the squad, they just don't get it. And so they begin demeaning and insulting Private Ryan before they even meet him. I'll be frank. There's not much formal religion in saving Private Ryan, but there is lots of devotion, sacrifice, commitment, and courage as the squad carries out its assignment. Although the GIs might not admit to it, a bond of love emerges among them. Jesus once said, "There is no greater love than this, when a person lays down his life for another." When Private Ryan is found and told of his brother's fate, he decides that the men that surround him are his new brothers, and he decides to stay with them and fight the Germans, thus sacrificing himself and the squad that was sent to save him. Stewardship. The movie is about stewardship. At the very end, many of the GIs are dead. Private Ryan has been saved, and he walks up to the captain who was sent to save him, who is now lying mortally wounded. The last words from the captain to Private Ryan, words that constantly make me think, the words are, "Earn this." Earn it. Each of us has been given a very precious gift, and our lives have been bought at a very dear price. Others have died so that we may live, and we haven't earned it. But we can. We can live the rest of our lives in a manner that honors the gift and the one who paid the price. Earn it. Basic stewardship. This is the same message that Jesus gave his followers just before he died, a story we've all heard. The story Jesus shared was about a man who summons three servants and gives each a gift. The servant with five gifts invests and doubles his gifts, as does the servant who received two. When the man returns, he praises both, and he gives them even more responsibility and calls them to share in his joy. The third servant was cautious. He hid the gifts given to him, and upon the man's return, the prudent man was treated harshly. The story was a challenge to the disciples, and it was a challenge to the early church. It was about how to live out their faith and trust, not conservatively, but boldly, aggressively, not hiding or protecting, but mustering courage to live boldly and bravely. Taking risk for the sake of love and life. Being responsible for the gift of the gospel and being responsible for the gift of salvation. Earn this. It's about responsibility. What an important word. A gathering and challenging word in a time when the momentum seems to be moving in the other direction. People are moving away from responsibility for anything other than their own space. And some aren't even responsible for that. It reminds me of another story. This one's about four people. Their names are everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. Seems there was an important job to do, and everybody was asked to do it. Everybody was sure somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody would do it. Somebody got angry because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody would do it, But nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody, but nobody did what anybody could have done. Jesus calls us to responsibility. We do not earn his grace or his love. It has been given. As has the responsibility to now rejoice in it, to live our lives fully, passionately, deeply, and joyfully. Accepting and practicing responsibility for our own lives, for our own work, our families, our neighbors, and our church. God has put this into our hands, our life, our abilities, our capacity to care, to give, and to help, serve, and to love. At some point, each of us has to decide that we'll accept this responsibility and be responsible. The promise is that when we invest what we have been given, when we put it to work for the sake of Jesus, the promise is abundance of life, of love, of purpose, amid meaning, happiness, and responsibility. In closing, I'll share one last story. I was once told, "Francis, you must get involved to have an impact. No one, and I mean no one, is impressed with the win-loss record of the referee. So go earn it. Amen."